Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajoyaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the second chapter of Luke, verses 22 to 40. This event took place a few weeks after the birth of Jesus, as described in the Common English Bible. When the time came for their ritual cleansing in accordance with the law from Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. It's written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord. They offered a sacrifice in keeping with what's stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. A man named Simeon was in Jerusalem. He was righteous and devout. He eagerly anticipated the restoration of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. The Holy Spirit revealed to him that he wouldn't die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Led by the Spirit, he went into the temple area. Meanwhile, Jesus' parents brought the child to the temple so that they could do what was customary under the law. Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God. He said, "Now, Master, let your servant go in peace according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation. You prepared this salvation in the presence of all peoples. It's a light for revelation to the Gentiles and a glory for your people, Israel." His father and mother were amazed by what was said about him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This boy is assigned to be the cause of the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that generates opposition, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your innermost being too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, who belonged to the tribe of Asher. She was very old. After she married, she lived with her husband for 7 years. She was now an 84-year-old widow. She never left the temple area, but worshiped God with fasting and prayer night and day. She approached at that very moment and began to praise God and to speak about Jesus to everyone who was looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Mary and Joseph had completed everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to their hometown, Nazareth in Galilee. The child grew up and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Advent is a time of preparation. Far from the anticipation of presents under a tree, we long for something else, something more. As people of faith, we journey alongside those ancient travelers seeking miracles. We seek hope, peace, joy, and love. This Advent season, we long for the miracle of new life in Emmanuel. We long for the light of the world.
About a week and a half ago, I went with a friend and colleague, we're really more friends than colleagues, we went wine tasting up into the central coast, into the Solvang, Los Olivos, Buellton area. We strategized which wine clubs we're a member of, because if you're a member, you get to taste for free. So we went up, again, about a week and a half ago. It was Thursday and Friday of the week before last. And we pulled into the first winery we pulled into, a place called Vega Vineyards. Neither of us remembers there, but we'd heard about it. We pulled into Vega Vineyards, and I don't know if it's ever happened for you where you pull into a place or you just open your eyes in a particular way, whether it's a new place or a familiar place, but you just see it differently. I don't know if I've ever been wine tasting in the fall to see the leaves on the vines change. You have seen that clearly. I had never seen that. From some views, from up on a hill, we could see a vineyard and you could see different colors of leaves where you can tell that these are the red grapes and these are the white grapes. It was beautiful. But as we got out of the car in the parking lot at Vega Vineyards, I saw this view and I have a picture of it. Oh, we lost it. There it is. Isn't that beautiful? It's gorgeous. I was so enthralled with it. I took the picture, obviously. I took it immediately. And then we went about our day. But I decided I can't keep this to myself. And so I shared it on some of my social media channels to great affirmation and love and care and some wonder, including our new bishop, Bishop Dottie Escobedo Frank, who wanted to know where I was. I love this picture so much that I decided I had to do something even more with it. And so as we were driving back down from the Central Coast, I'm a geek and there's a few websites that I check for sales, and I found out that one of the local pharmacies slash photo processing places had a sale on canvas prints. 80% off. That's significant. I could get a $100 canvas print for 20 bucks. You can't say no to that. So while we're in the car, driving back down from the Central Coast, I'm on my phone uploading this photo and ordering this print. Very excited. It tells me it's about, I don't know, 7-something in the evening, and we're getting close to his house. He lives in Huntington Beach. And it places the order. He said it should be ready around 1 a.m. I don't need to stay up that late, but I can get it in the morning. And so we get to his place, I switch over into my car that had spent the day at his house, and then I get in my car and I'm driving down and I get an alert. It's about 9:15, I get an alert. Your print's done. You can pick it up. I wasn't even home yet. I was like 5 miles from the house. I can just pick it up on the way. I'm very excited. So I pull into the parking lot of the place. It's about 9:35. It only took me 20 minutes to get there, and I start to walk through the door, and that's when I see this sign on the door. The sign that says, "We're so sorry, we're usually open 24 hours, but today we have to close at 9:30. It's 9:35. There's people still inside. And I see as one person has finished their purchase and there's an employee who's going to open the door for them. And as I watch this person exit and the employee starts to close the door, somebody else goes up. I just need the one thing. I just need this one thing. And I know right where it is. And so that person is let in. Well, I figure I should be let in too. And so I went to the door as another person was let out, and I said, "I'm just picking up from photo. I just want to pick up this great print." The guy said, "No." "What? Well, you just let somebody else in." "No." "Is there a shift supervisor, a manager with whom I can speak?" Listen, my Gen X was coming out. And the guy said, "No." "What do you mean there's no supervisor on shift?" So I went home. It wasn't a big enough deal. The next morning was the Christmas workshop, so clearly it's looking a lot like Christmas. But I went there first to pick up my print because I'm very excited. It's a gorgeous picture. So I went there first, and I went inside because they were open by then. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. And I went to photo. There's a bit of a line. I had to wait. But then the guy said, "How can I help you?" And I told him I was supposed to pick it up last night. There was an issue, but I'd like to pick it up now. "Okay, great. What's your name? Let me look for it." And he keeps looking. And he keeps looking. And then he comes to me and says, "I can't find it." "Well, listen, here's the email that says it's going to be ready at 9:15 last night. So, you need to find this. I'll print it again." Okay, so I got to wait a little bit. I'm getting a little anxious because I got to go back and put on my goofy Christmas sweat before I go to the Christmas workshop. But he prints it out, and it's one of those canvas prints, so they've got this thing that they wrap it around to make it look like a wood frame. It's just plastic. But anyway, he wraps it around the thing. He puts it in the box. He hands it to me. He says, "No charge." I got 100% off. And I took it home to put on my goofy Christmas sweater, but of course I couldn't resist taking it out of the box. And the print was wrong. You see that tree that's right in the middle? It was about a third of the way to the left, and then there was a big white strip on the right. How did he miss this when he was putting it on the frame? Did he imagine that's the print I wanted? So I went to the Christmas workshop, which was beautiful. It felt a lot like Christmas. And then I went back, and I took it out of the box, and I showed him. He's like, I know. I'm sorry. But I found the first one we printed, and it's right. And he handed it to me, and I still didn't have to pay anything for it. And it's now hanging on the wall in my dining room right above my wine rack. It took a long way to get there. But I'm so excited about it. It looks beautiful on the wall. My only hiccup is it's a bit small. It's 18 by 24, and I sort of maybe wish it were bigger. And since this one was free, maybe I can afford to buy to print a bigger one. We'll get into that later, but I'm so excited.
Buy more wine.
Buy more wine. But it was one of those things, to be honest, it's one of those things that was a parallel to how I feel like some of my life has been over the last 3 years, where I feel like there's this beautiful end in sight, but there's obstacle and obstacle and obstacle and burden and disappointment. I don't know if you felt that way too. And this experience of this print helped me to see that as hard as the journey can be, it can still end in joy. As challenging as the journey can be, it can still end in joy. You know, the Christmas season is a journey for many of us. And as I have quoted one of my favorite theologians, Steven Tyler of Aerosmith, life's a journey, not a destination. I would submit we're all theologians. We can talk about that later. But I think it's a truism that our life is a journey and not a destination. Now, does that mean we're not aiming somewhere? Does it not mean we're not looking for something? No, I don't believe that it does. But it means we must experience the journey with its ups and its downs, with its challenges and its joys, with the ways it rips us into shreds and the ways it puts us back together. Life's a journey. And it can end in beauty and joy. Mary and Joseph got terrifying news. Maybe terrifying is a strong word. On the other hand, if angels came to visit you and said you're going to have a baby, maybe that would be terrifying for you. The infancy narratives we have of Jesus come only from Matthew and Luke. They're not in Mark and they're not in John. And we often put those together into one cohesive story. We can debate the efficacy of that, but that's what we often do. And depending on how you recall the story, you may recall that Mary and Joseph have to take a journey before they can experience the joy of new life. They have to go from the place that they live to Bethlehem, to the city of David, to the city of Joseph's ancestry, to the city of the one who long ago was called king and who was honored as a king who had saved and would save and who the prophecy said, this is where the Messiah would come from. But they had to journey. They had to get there. And we often envision Mary on a donkey or some other beast carrying her, you know, 9 3/4 months pregnant or 8 3/4 months pregnant, just on the verge of childbirth, probably telling Joseph to stop talking on the way. Until they arrive in Bethlehem. And we imagine knocking on all the hotel doors. Maybe that's a bit of an exaggeration, but seeking a place of privacy to experience the continued journey And for anyone who's experienced childbirth, yes, of course there is joy in it, but it is difficult. It is hard work. To have a place that is private, to do this hard work of childbirth before hearing the absolute beauty of the cry of a newborn. And anyone who's been in the delivery room in that moment to hear that cry, to hear that claiming of new life, the infilling of breath, God's Holy Spirit, and the claiming of that life and naming, here I am with my cries. And it's wonderful. It's beautiful. And it is a joy-filled moment. And it is a joy-filled moment that took a journey to get there. And for Mary and Joseph, it took a physical journey, a whole lot more than getting in your car and driving to the hospital. And the journey didn't end there. They had to travel again. Depending on which gospel you read, it might have been because there was a fear for the life of their child. Or just because they were going back home. They continued their journey. And for Mary and Joseph, I would suggest, just like any parent would understand, that this is a journey that culminates in a new life, but this is not an ending. Indeed, this is a beautiful beginning. As parents begin to map out perhaps the expectations of who they would hope their child to be, this child begins a journey of living into the world in new and profound and amazing ways. It is a journey that continues. As we anticipate the journey that will lead us to Christmas this particular year, 2022, we understand that it is a journey that will take us to a particular place, and we will celebrate and we will be filled with peace and joy and hope and love, and it is not an ending. It's a journey that continues. We are reminded, though, as Mary and Joseph follow the law and take Jesus to dedicate him to God in the temple, as we learn from the Hebrew Bible, the story of Samuel, where he is dedicated to God. And as the law of Moses suggests, all firstborns, firstborn males, if you look at it in Exodus, are dedicated to God, and not just people, the firstborn animals too, are dedicated to God. So Mary and Joseph follow the law, and they go to the temple, and who do they run into? They run into Simeon. And they run into Anna. And Simeon, I think about Simeon. He's named as a prophet, one who spends their life listening for God's voice and sharing the news, the message that they have heard. I imagine Simeon as an old man, spending as much time in the temple as he can. Probably not all of his time, at least that's the way I read it. But who has had an inspiration from God's Holy Spirit that his days would not end until he saw the incarnation, the embodiment of God's love in the world. I imagine him waiting, experiencing the journey of his own life, and his ups and downs, his challenges and his joys, his heartbreak, and his profound inspiration. I imagine him in the temple doing the things that he does in the temple. And perhaps his eyesight has begun to dim, and perhaps his muscles have gotten a bit weaker, and perhaps his skin has lost some of its texture. And I imagine Mary and Joseph bringing in this brand new baby. And I imagine Simeon, even with dimmed eyes, even with weakened muscles, even with skin whose texture has changed, seeing this infant baby and perhaps even picking him up and holding him and realizing that this is the one that God's Holy Spirit had said he would see in his lifetime. I imagine these old hands holding the skin of a young baby. I imagine the contrast of the bright eyes of Jesus looking about in this place that he'd never been before, and the old and dimmed eyes of Simeon looking at him. And for Simeon, this was the culmination of the journey to see and experience joy in the incarnation of God's love in the world. And then I imagine Anna. Anna, who, I mean, the expectation of the time is that women would get married at a fairly young age, who lived with her husband for 7 years, but now she was 84, had literally spent her life in the temple, doing all the things. She's like the Roger Wiggins of the temple, who would do everything, who would constantly be there, who had given her heart and life and soul to give to her faith community. And I imagine her, who had spent her life in service to see this infant child who would be the servant to the world, the one who proclaimed his servanthood. And I imagine her joy throughout the journey of her life to see this child with the same contrasts, the same dim eyes and weakened muscles and difference in skin texture as one is held by the other. What a joy it is to be able to proclaim that the presence of Christ is in our midst, that the incarnation of God is in our midst, and to experience unexpected, unequivocal joy. As we continue our journey of Advent, as we continue toward Christmas Eve and Christmas Day worship, let us know the journey and let us know joy. Amen.